This is a replay of the Tuesday night, June 16th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, well, that's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the best deal and good customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, and if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. All you have to do is call 888-876-5593. That's 888-ROLLYE, and that gets you to me. We already have a lineup, Mike and Marty and Jim. All right, but plenty of room available for you. Now, I loved this story, and Engineer Bob, who sends me terrific links, had sent it, because I can't tell you how many times I have thrown a laptop against a wall. It doesn't matter if it's a MacBook Pro, it doesn't stop me. And and more than once, I'm glad that I'm not armed, because I'm sure I would shoot some of the desktops. I'm almost convinced, if they're running Windows, that is. Most of my Macs I've made peace with, and don't start me on Linux. But in any event, what we have here is a guy. No, he didn't shoot his PC. His PC saved him from a bullet fired by a neighbor's dog. All right, so right there, you know this story's got to be good. Yeah, under the heading of, well, you see what happened was. Yes, right, it's a Ramageddon story for sure. Actually, I always say you can never have enough RAM. Well, in this case, a $200 RAM stick just proved its worth completely. Yeah, that's right. And this was one of the articles I read said it comes straight out of The Simpsons. Oh, believe me, it'll probably get there. But we have a gaming PC who has stepped out and said, hey, my computer saved me from being shot. Yes, so the neighbor's dog, and right there, you wonder about that. The neighbor's dog accidentally discharged a firearm. Wouldn't you love copy on that as well? They don't have much of that. Obviously, the police showed up. Now, when the dog discharged the firearm, probably with absolutely no malice toward the neighbor, the bullet traveled through a wall heading toward the person. But what happened is it changed its trajectory after hitting a RAM stick. All right, so, that's, I don't know, is that more expensive than bulletproof shielding? I guess it depends how much you've got of it. But apparently, the deal was that they woke up, the gamer, and it was a gamer on his computer, woke up in the middle of the night to a loud bang and glass hitting them in the face. And so, meanwhile, in a daze, the neighbor arrives, crying, shaking, repeatedly apologizing, terrified someone had been hurt because it turned out their dog discharged a firearm. Again, I want more copy on that, but I don't have it. So the police arrive, they investigate, and that was what was interesting. As they analyzed the scene, they said, you know, you would have been hit by that bullet while you were asleep had that PC not altered its trajectory. And they found the bullet under the guy's pillow. I kid you not. And so they've got pictures of the projectile and went right through the motherboard, but deflected off of the RAM stick. If you were wondering, that would be a Trident ZRGB, just in case. And now, needless to say, the neighbor was charged with criminal negligence, I guess, and had her gun confiscated. How did the dog get the gun? Yeah, that's one where the reporter, I think, just didn't get enough information on this. The insurance will be paying for the repairs. Then they'll drop the coverage, no doubt. And she has said everything the insurer doesn't pay for, she will. It took 3 days to clean up all the broken glass from the broken panel. And so Now the computer user is looking for a replacement. And so in these days of Ramageddon, his $3,500 budget won't go all that far. But nonetheless, better a broken PC than a bullet in your body. So there, it's just a great story. But I sure wish that it included exactly how that gun got in the paws of the dog. Well, it's not the only time it's happened. Oh, then there's Scott's Bluff. And here we have a dog setting off a shotgun in the back of a truck where when the animal moved from one side of the seat to the other. A pellet hit a woman in the arm. Yeah, well, if she had a PC nearby. Yes, absolutely. I believe that would be an Alabama story. But nonetheless, 888-876-5593. Top that. We've got Mike in Elmwood Park who's going to try. Mike, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh, can I get a couple of requests then?
Yeah, and I've got a couple I'm planning to play for you tonight. No, let me get the list. So, yeah, I'm playing 60 Minute Man. And were you the one who wanted Don't Throw Your Love Away?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't write the name down, but it was underneath yours, so I was hoping. All right, so what are we adding to 60 Minute Man?
Mr. Bassman by Johnny Cymbal.
Absolutely.
And I Only Have Eyes for You by the Flamingos.
Ah, okay. All right, you got it.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for calling. All right,
yep.
So we'll definitely get to 60 Minute Man. And, of course, I'll have to play a clip from Can't Do 60 No More. Yeah, it's only fair. And we'll definitely get to Mr. Bassman and I Only Have Eyes for You before the week is out. All right, so that takes care of that. Now we've got Marty, and Marty is in Whiting. So, Marty, welcome back to WGN Radio. What's up?
Good evening, Raleigh. That was one heck of a story.
Isn't it? I just love that story, but I sure wish the reporter had delved into exactly the dynamics of how the dog got the gun.
Right. Was that in America?
Was that from what?
Was that in the USA?
Yes, absolutely in the USA. No, that's
wow.
that these stories are as American as apple pie.
Well, I've told you a couple of times now, I don't have a computer, even a smartphone. Maybe I need a PC now.
That's right. That's right. Put it under home protection.
Yeah, no doubt. Wow. Yeah, what a wild story. I'll have to be telling that to somebody.
Yeah.
I got a request, but also I got a question for you.
Okay.
My request, I was catching up on my newspapers. It was either from Sunday, yesterday, or this morning. Billy Crash Craddock, I think he was 82.
Yeah.
Do you have anything by him?
Sure, Rub It In for sure, but probably a lot more. But everybody plays Rub
okay.
It In.
Right. I haven't heard his songs in years, but if you don't want to play something
sure.
tomorrow night or whatever,
sure.
That'd be nice to hear.
Absolutely, Marty, I'll do it.
Okay, and then here's my question. I've been meaning to ask you this like the last 4 or 5 weeks. You know, Lionel, he only works weekends now.
Uh-huh.
Walt Sterling took over for him. But I had not heard this name in years. Cousin Brucey.
Yeah.
Cousin Brucey will pop in on the 3-hour show and he'll play a song.
Uh-huh.
I'm assuming Cousin Brucey is deceased.
No, he's 90 years old. He'll be 91 this fall. He's absolutely alive. He's still on like Sirius.
Oh, really?
I wish I was making that up, but I'm not.
Yeah, he plays some good little songs, and especially, I have a cousin, and his name is Bruce. So, no exaggeration, I have not heard that name, Cousin Brucey, and oh, I bet it's been 30 years. Raleigh.
Well, interesting, because he certainly has been around during all that time. You know, he originally was in Bermuda and then on INS in New York, and then he went to Miami on INZ briefly and then WABC, and he was there for 13 years. And then he went to WNBC, replacing Wolfman Jack, who quit because he was going to tour with the Guess Who. And after that, if you remember, Robert F.X. Sillerman, he teamed with him and Sillerman Morrow Broadcasting. They bought little stations in places like Middletown and Poughkeepsie and places like that. And then he went back to CBS FM, probably 82, initially filling in for Jack Spector and then taking over. And then he did this little syndicated thing, Cruising America. And he had a little Saturday Night Dance Party briefly, but then Cruising America was the deal. And then he did some other countdown things that had some appeal. And he stayed on CBS FM until I think like the early 90s for sure, when the station changed format. That's when he was out. And from there, he went to Sirius in about 2005. And he's, as far as I know, he's still, maybe he's not, but I thought he was still there. Oh, well, I just looked it up while we're speaking. On Wednesday, July 29th, 2020, he announced he was leaving Sirius, characterized as not a retirement. All right. Well, okay, here's the deal. He went back to WABC because remember that fan who became a billionaire bought WABC and brought a lot of things back, including, I guess, Cousin Brucey's Saturday Night Rock and Roll Party. And so I guess WABC is trying to syndicate that. So that's he's still absolutely alive. And as far as I know, wow. Jody, his wife, he married her in 1974. She was the sister of a guy in Miami, Pete Berlin, who I think died recently, who was on WFUN. But anyway, I think that she's still there as well. And so that's the deal. Yep.
Well, hands down, he's got one hell of a resume, man.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, today.
Trying to search my memory. Probably in the, I don't know, graduate high school in 81. Probably around there, you know, early 80s to mid 80s. Maybe the first time I ever heard his name. But, yeah, he pops up on Walt's show there. And then, like, at least two songs throughout the 3-hour night. But it's not three. But it's like, next time I think about it, I remember, because I got part-timers. I'll have to ask Raleigh.
Well, that's the deal, and he's very New York-centric. One of my favorite stories is being in Winslow, Arizona, and they had the Cousin Brucey show in this little restaurant, and this woman was sitting there who was from New Mexico, and she turned to her husband when Cousin Brucey came on and said, "What is that crap?" And I thought, yes, well, that's pretty much how someone outside of New York would probably typify it. So now, of course, I can't hear him without seeing this woman in my mind's eye saying that. But, he certainly certainly made a name for himself, that's for sure.
Okay, Raleigh, thank you very much for answering my question.
Absolutely.
And next time I call, I'm going to pick your brain about Wolfman Jack because June 30th, I'm going to Tinley Park. Okay. And guess who? I know you're not a Guess Who fan.
No, that's actually not.
Wolfman.
That's not entirely true. I like some of the Guess Who stuff. I have a soft spot for anybody from Winnipeg, as far as musically, because my mind is Winnipeg is Canada's music capital, and so a lot of stuff came out of there that was really good.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
I'll keep you in mind June 30th when me and my friend go to the concert. Tinley Park.
Well, perfect. And then you're just a few days away from the death anniversary of Bob Smith, Wolfman Jack. We'll talk about it.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you.
So I knew him, but I knew him, you know, the old friend of a friend thing. I have a very good friend, Barry Richards, who was a very good friend of Bob's. And so it was that I socialized with him on several occasions because of that. And I thought the guy was hilarious. So even when he didn't necessarily mean to be. So 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. We're going to get to Jim in Richmond. Don't go away, Jim. You are next, I promise. But I got an email from Lisa. Hi, Lisa. Lisa from Joliet, and she's a new listener to the show. And the first thing she requested was, in fact, Run Mascara by the Exciters. I thought, this is a kindred spirit. So we'll play it next, coming up on WGN Radio.
Like the toy every time that he can.
Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and those are the Exciters on Roulette. That was probably their downfall, but very underrated group who had a lot of history. And Brenda Reed and her husband, Herb Rooney, were the genesis of it when they were the Exciters. They previously had been something else. But in any event, they were the Masterettes, and nothing happened. But they wound up auditioning for Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller and got a record contract, and they changed their name to the Exciters, and Lieber and Stoller and Teacho Wilshire produced for United Artists Tell Him, which was a top five record, and a Scopitone, if you've ever seen that as well. And that was actually a remake. Gil Hamilton, who later was Johnny Thunder, recorded it as Tell Her, and it did absolutely nothing. But Tell Him was just huge. And, of course, they went on and wound up, through, I don't know, a fit of insanity on Roulette. But it's a long story, I'm sure. But in any event, they had been involved with Burt Burns. And Burt Burns actually wrote and produced Run Mascara. So there you go. And that's for Lisa, and we'll get her other requests as well. So now, with all that, we're going to check out the news, and then we're going to check out Jim in Richmond and his update, and there's room for you too, coming up on WGN Radio.
I have a boyfriend. He says I'm his only one.
James, the Ronettes, from an album 1964, the Ronettes, presenting the fabulous Ronettes, featuring Veronica, and indeed, so it was an album cut on that, but the song is really a signature song for the Students back in 1958 originally, and then Maureen Gray had a version that got some play in Philadelphia, that was it. The Beach Boys had it on an album for reasons I can't fathom. Neighbor's Complaint, which interesting little doo-wop recreation group. Rosie and the Originals, but the Rosie and the Originals version didn't surface until about 1999, which was, you know, more than a decade after it had been recorded, but big record, especially for the Students. I always think about it that way, but nice to hear Veronica do it as well. And that was the second request we had from Lisa in Joliet. All right, so Jim in Richmond, I want to hear all about it. Welcome back to WGN Radio. The floor is yours.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
Always. What's going on?
Can I get a request before we talk about the four stories I want to talk about?
Oh, sure. What do you want to hear?
Can you play something by Bonnie Tyler?
Bonnie
she
Tyler.
She came out of a coma today.
All right, Bonnie Tyler. Yeah, kind of puts me in a coma hearing it, but I'll try to come up with something I'm willing to tolerate. So what else you got?
If you don't have to play it.
Well, we'll see. I'll try something. I don't know what, but something.
Right. And I have two fantastic stories from Sunday, and then frustration from Monday, and then a call that I got on Sunday from Brian with an I that I am very upset about. But let's start with the great news. I was over the moon on Sunday.
What happened?
I got a call from my son and daughter-in-law in Rock in Miami.
Oh, good.
And they've been looking all around and everything. She has a doctorate in veterinary medicine. So they've been looking and looking and looking to get out of Miami.
And really?
Have you ever heard of Palm Bay, Florida?
Palm Bay, of course.
Yes.
Why? Well, firstly, why do they want to stay in Florida? Palm Bay is Brevard County, so that's the Space Coast. That's like Cocoa, Titusville,
right.
Merritt Island,
mm-hmm.
and you know they it's all right. I mean, you know, it's got the same humidity as Miami, so if that's your beef, you won't
right.
solve it there.
But they recruited her
oh.
to go to a better hospital. That's my stupid...
A veterinary
stroke.
Hospital?
But
okay.
Right.
All right,
and
so where is it? Do you know what the name of it is? Where is it?
No,
okay.
No, but we were talking and everything.
Okay.
And they found them a house in Palm Bay.
Okay.
It is a five-bedroom,
yeah.
two-story,
uh-huh.
two-car garage with a mm-hmm. large fenced-in yard.
Oh, yeah,
because
yeah.
they have two dogs. $450,000, no PMI, and no deposit.
Okay.
Because they're recruiting her to come there.
Hopefully no HOA.
And they have an HOA.
Oh,
but I
God.
Told them to
yeah, well.
Totally read the HOA.
Yeah, read it closely. Know? Well, it's grown. That's for sure. The funniest thing was, and this is 20 years ago now, but the thing I remember about it was U.S. News and World Report reported it as the number two drunkest city in the United States behind Reno. So.
Palm Bay?
Yeah.
Oh, great. I got to tell them
yeah,
that.
But now remember, a year before it was the finalist for All-American City. So it depends who's
right.
rating it. But I love that drunkest. And I thought, oh, man, retired astronauts. What do you know? So
right.
it was it was interesting because they had a really nice country club there that was like essentially worthless because they found arsenic in the groundwater. And it would
right.
cost like $12 million to clean it up. I don't know whatever happened to that. But you know, you got a situation there like many places in Florida, you know, St. Pete is famous for this, where the voters defeat any measure that could possibly raise their property taxes. So they don't do anything about the infrastructure, like raising the or like, you know, fixing the roads or things like that. And so, you know, it's what it is. But still, it's not a bad place as far as that goes.
Right.
So, yeah.
And they're excited because they could sit on the back porch and watch the space launches from
oh they can
from Florida.
They absolutely can.
Right. And they were telling me that, like I said, no PMI, no down payment, and they found her a wonderful position there.
Good.
And my son is looking for a position in Walgreens in that area.
There's
and
plenty
they
of
want
them.
People to And they want people to move there.
Good.
He said they're going from a $200,000 people living there to two million people in Miami. He
right.
said if he bought the same house in Miami, it would cost $1.5 million.
Yeah, Miami's out of sight right now for reasons that also evade me. But right.
Right.
But yeah, Brevard County is kind of large, but you know, not anywhere near Dade for Miami or Broward, obviously. But I'd say the population of the county is probably over 500,000.
Right, and they are over the moon, and I was over the moon because they called me, you know,
yeah.
and.
Well, it's also interesting. By the way, I'll give you an interesting fact. Maybe they don't know it. But of all the communities in Brevard County, and Cocoa is probably the most well-known in Cocoa Beach and all that, but Palm
mm-hmm.
Bay has a bigger population than anywhere else, like Melbourne or Titusville or Cocoa Beach or Satellite Beach or Cape Canaveral or Indian Harbor. Palm Bay has over 140,000 people. So it's bigger than it is. So it's got some clout there in Brevard County. It's nice.
Right. And he said they had 200,000, but that's what he said. But I was so excited that I got to speak to them because they haven't talked to them in a long time.
That's
and
great.
While we were talking, you could hear Rock running around speaking and everything. And she was telling me he calls potato chips tichies. I don't know where he got that from.
Oh, okay. You know? All right.
And then the other exciting news is my daughter-in-law told me that through Ancestry, they all knew that they had a lieutenant colonel in the American Revolution.
Uh-huh.
And that's why her mother and her are in the DAR.
Oh, God.
But they went through Ancestry and went further and found out that their 13th great-grandmother was on the Mayflower.
All right. I guess that's good.
And then they said that their 13th great-uncle was there before the Mayflower, and he was the surveyor to tell them where to land the ship.
Interesting.
And then she told me, we are American, more than you can understand.
Well, sure, that's great.
So then,
you know, for people.
So then I go on.
I was going to say, for people, some people really put a lot into that. And I know that because, you know, I'm married to John, who's a descendant of, you know, Ezra Cornell. And so occasionally he'll get a call from a relative. Well, would you do a DNA? We want to trace it back. Like, no, we don't care. We could care less. So they don't like it since John won't give them the male DNA for it. He says, you know, it doesn't matter. They're
right.
All dead. So, yeah.
And I was over the moon on Sunday, but I told her that the only thing that I know about my son's, you know, ancestry was my father told me that his great-grandfather was a captain in the King's Guard in Sweden.
Wow.
And they gave him, when he retired, they gave him 10 acres, but the acres they gave him was horrible. And then he said, heck with this, and he left. But
where did
said,
he go?
Oh, yeah, we're going to America.
Really, from but Sweden? Okay.
Right. But what she told me is this, we're going to look into that more.
All
and
right.
I thought that was great.
Yeah.
Now, here is the last two frustrating stories.
Okay.
On Monday, I was over the moon on Monday.
Right.
And then I get a phone call, you know, because I have U.S. Cellular. Mm-hmm. And I got seven messages from T-Mobile, who's took over U.S. Cellular.
Okay.
And you have to do this, down this link. You have to do this, down this link. You have to do this, down this link. And they said, okay, you paid your April bill, you paid your May bill through U.S. Cellular, you paid your June bill, but you owe us $93.
For
and that's what I pay, you know, and that's what I meant. And it got so frustrating. So then I called, this was on Monday, and I said, hey, Siri, call, you know, T-Mobile. And they gave me the store in Delavan. And the guy in Delavan says, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, but you need to come in. And I said, I'm legally blind.
Right.
And he says, well, the best way to solve all this, if you can come in here,
right,
and we'll take care of it.
Right.
And I go, I'm legally blind. Oh, yeah, you did say that. So then today I get messages again from T-Mobile, and they said, you have to put in your code to get your messages, you know, text messages. And I don't know that. So then I called T-Mobile, and then I didn't get anything. And then finally they said, call this number. And I called them, and I talked to three people. And then finally I got the technician who's going to help me from the technician side. And she tells me, oh, my grandfather is blind in the right eye. He lost his vision in his left eye, and he got it back. And I said, you can see what I'm going through. I can't see anything.
All right.
And she said, and she's going through, well, we're going to send you a text message, and then you tell me what the code says. And, you know, I asked Siri, and Siri doesn't work. She goes, oh, Siri is a third-party person. I go, I got an Apple phone. It's not a third party. And we went back and forth and back and forth. And then she finally said, tomorrow we go to Libertyville and and Skokie. And then we're going to stop in Delavan at the T-Mobile office. She says, well, you know, I don't know. The best thing for you to do is go see the T-Mobile office.
Okay.
That's what we're going to do tomorrow.
And hang on. That's great, and I think you should. But you should also, anytime something like this happens, Jim, look for the accessibility department, because they all have them. And I can give you the general accessibility number for T-Mobile. And that's who you call. Nobody else.
Right. And that's what I'm going to do.
All right.
Let me go see them on.
Well, you're right. But you've got that number to call from home. It's a toll-free number.
Right. But she was telling me that.
You keep saying, do you have the number?
No, I don't. But we'll get that tomorrow at the T-Mobile office. But the other thing is, she's telling me, I don't think a Siri will work. And I'm going, what are you talking about? I have an Apple phone. Siri is part of Apple. And then one guy told me, people I talked to, that's a third party.
No, we've talked before. There are other things on your phone that are more prone to do this task. Fran's gone over it with you as well. So,
accessibility and all that.
Well, you're going to need to know how to do that, not rely on Siri for anything.
Right, but after I got off the phone, Siri's working.
All right.
You know, and she was telling me Siri's not going to work, but Siri was working, you know.
Well, whatever.
Because she reads my text messages, she makes my phone calls, and it's working, but she was telling me it's not going to work. So that's why I'm frustrated.
Why be frustrated? Remember, these are people who are support people. They've got the brains of a mushroom for the most part. Don't let them upset you.
Right.
You know.
And my third thing is, I totally thank John because she got me to talk to Karen in Chicago.
Right.
And we call. She calls several times.
Well,
and
good.
We talk for hours,
good.
You know, and that's fantastic. But then he gave Brian with an I my phone number, and he called me on either Saturday or Sunday, and all he talked about was him. And then when he brought up some subjects that I didn't appreciate, I told him, I don't listen to that. And I don't listen to that.
Okay.
And he was getting frustrated because I didn't listen to what he was saying.
Well,
he originally said he was going to talk to me about my eyesight. And I got to the point where I said, you insulted me because, you know, I didn't like.
All right, I don't need to hear. I don't need the details. Here's the and I really don't want the details. Here is the bottom line to this. Not everybody is a good fit. Somebody like that who you're not having a good fit with, you thank them for their time and you politely hang up. End of story.
Right.
Don't let it get to you, and I don't need to hear the rest of it.
Right.
Okay.
But then he sent me a voicemail, and I deleted that.
And that's fine.
But what I'm saying is, I don't mind talking to people that want to talk to me about my eyesight problems and their eyesight problems.
Here's the deal.
And Karen is fantastic.
Here is the deal, Jim. On something like this that's clearly an open forum, you know, John will be happy to pass it all along. It's up to you to decide whether it's a good fit or not. A lot of it won't be, and just take it from there. You know, you can't say, well, I only want this or that. When you get the person on the phone, if it doesn't work, you just say, hey, thanks for your time. Goodbye. You know, don't report it to me on the air, because remember, I like all of my listeners. Now, you don't have to like any of them, but we're not going to say anything bad about Brian.
I like all of your listeners,
too,
and I thank you for all of your listeners, but it just frustrated me, and I wanted you to know.
Don't let it frustrate you. You see, that's something you have total control over. Just like I say with the customer support people, don't let it get to you. It's up to you how you're going to react. You can't control what they're going to do, but you can control your reaction to them. So have a good day tomorrow.
Yeah.
Get that toll-free number while you're there, because you're going to need it.
And then Tomorrow I'll be at both of the eye doctors tomorrow and then at T-Mobile.
Well, good deal. Can't wait to hear about it. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you for taking my call, and I hope you have a wonderful evening.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. Let's just leave it at that. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And we got Isaac and Victor and James, and there's room for you too coming up on WGN Radio. Oh, I forgot all about it. And you know, this is the bad part. And thank you, Adam. Adam said you want to do a sea crane. We talked about this beforehand. I've got it in my hand. I've actually been doodling on it while I was talking to Jim. And I didn't bother to say, I need to tell you about the CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth. Yeah, terrific radio. You know, when I think of emergency radios, I want something that's going to work no matter what. That means, it has batteries, but what if the batteries are dead? Okay, maybe I've got an AC adapter, but what if there's no power? Okay, well, maybe I've got solar capability, but what if I didn't leave it in a windowsill? What then? Well, that's where the CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth wins them all, because it is a wind-up emergency radio. Now, that sounds, I know, it sounds like a horror, actually, but if you take a look at this, it's really nice. It's about the size of a brick, clean, modern digital design, 5 easy one-touch memories, superior reception, a lighted dial, and, you know, all the things you would want. And, of course, like every radio that Bob Crane develops, it's got tremendous AM and FM reception. It also has, of course, the weather band and weather alerts from NOAA, and it sounds good enough that it can double as a Bluetooth speaker for you. And it does sound that good. And the beauty of it, though, in the back of it is a little hand crank. You crank that for about 30 seconds. It's going to play for about 30 minutes. And not only that, but it probably can charge your cell phone as well. Now, not to go surf the web or anything, but to make that one emergency call, you can probably, if that's the only thing stopping you, you may be able to get there. You can take a look at the CC Radio Solar anytime at ccradio.com. And yes, with Bluetooth, which means that speaker is good enough that you'll want to use it as your Bluetooth speaker. That's ccradio.com, the CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth. If you have any questions or you can't go online and want to order by phone, all that is fine. 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE. But if you can go online, go to ccradio.com. Look at that CC Radio Solar with Bluetooth as a lifesaver. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and we're going to forego the bumper because we don't have much time this hour, and I think I want to get in Isaac's request. Let's see what he wants to hear. So, Isaac, welcome back to WGN Radio.
I'm calling... Wait. Hello?
Yes, I'm here. Are you there?
Sorry. Okay, I'm calling an odd request, but we are coming up upon the 54th anniversary of Watergate tomorrow, June 17th. So I was requesting the JV's, what is it? You keep Watergate, you just give me the bucks. I forgot the name of the song. I was listening to the guy before for so long.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. JBs sound good to me. We'll do it.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. It's good enough. That was easy. Now I got to find it, but I think I was afraid we were going to have Dickie Goodman. Yes, and his drop-ins on Watergate. Oh, who knows? That could happen too. So next hour, we'll be talking to Victor and pretend home shoppers. I can't even imagine. Cindy in Chicago and her migraines, and James on the South Side and his stories. Lots of stories. So plenty to talk about, and still room for you, too. And, I made the mistake of reading the news. No, nothing political or anything like that. You will not believe what people are paying. Maybe you're one of them, I don't know, paying for their monthly car payment. Oh, my dear God, no wonder we're all going to hell in a home in a handbasket. We'll get back to it on WGN Radio.
Feeling this way.
James. Roseanne Cash, she wrote it too. Rodney Crowell produced it. And that was in 1981 on Columbia. Yeah, seven-year ache indeed. She did an interesting project about 15 years ago now, The List, where her dad had set Johnny Cash, obviously, sat down with her and gave her a list of records that she needed to know. And so she did a number of them on an album. But it was interesting, when she was first going around to tout this, you know, got the call from the dreaded publicist, and I said, well, that's fine, she'll bring the list, right? Oh, no, no, she's only going to talk about what's been recorded. Forget it. And I think everybody else said it too, so I don't know. But one album did come out and had everything from See a Heartbreak to Long Black Veil and She's Got You and more. But the list was more voluminous than that, and I don't know if we ever got to hear it. But anyway, that was the third and final request from Lisa and Joliet. 888-876-5593, 888-88-RALEIGH. Okay, I'm a sucker. Eduardo in Tampa, hiking the Appalachian Trail. You're not going to do this, are you?
No, but I'm glad that the freshmen at St. Benedict are required to do it for 5 days. I mean, that's great news.
Well, it takes
kind of like a mini boot camp.
It takes more than 5 days to do it all. You're talking about a 2,100-plus mile trail.
Yeah, that's Steve Harmon. I mean, yeah. 5 days, that doesn't seem right, but that's what they said.
Yeah, it goes from Maine to Georgia. Interesting. But yes, I mean, people love to hike it. It's an all hiking trail too, and it's the longest in the world.
Yeah, they said they do it with light supervision. I mean, freshmen are doing it. I think it puts in good values to young people, you know, teamwork, adventure. I mean, you know, get them interested, get them away from social media.
I get tired just reading it, but I guess if you're younger, but you know, we all learned about it, that it's over 2,100 miles and traverses 14 states and all that. And it is, like I say, the longest hiking only footpath in the world. And it's yeah. Got elevation in there too. It's up and it's down. Well, of course it's the Appalachian Mountains, obviously. From Baxter State Park in Maine down to Springer Mountain in Georgia. And apparently about 17 million people a year and over 3,000 attempt to hike the entire footpath every year. No data on how many of them live, but people travel from all across the globe to do this for a variety of reasons, none of which I understand.
Yeah. It's almost like doing the, what's that, over there in Spain, the pilgrimage. They do over there.
Well, it's a lot shorter.
And it's somewhat like that.
A lot shorter.
Okay.
You know, I mean, as far as that goes. And it's got very nice hiking as far as that goes. The Alpine traverses and historic Camino de Santiago, the pilgrimage and all that.
Right. Right, that's and, it.
And so they say that takes 30 days. I don't know how long it is, but... I don't think it's that long, like the Appalachian Trail anyway. I don't know. So, all right. Yeah, so
I'm doing a portion. I don't know about doing all of it. Yeah, but I mean, I'm glad that the young people, you know, they throw them in there and, you know, have them, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
Use critical thinking skills, you know.
Yeah. The critical skills are thinking to yourself, now, why did I want to do this? Yeah, that would be the thinking. But, you know, they have day hiking.
I want to make it to the sophomore year, yeah.
Yeah, right. They have day hiking and backpacking stuff as well. So it's not, obviously, not that many people comparatively are trying for the 2,100 miles.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's been around since...
Great story, yeah.
Yeah, been around since the 30s.
Yeah. Hey, I got to tell you before I leave. So I went to a Dollar Tree today with Mom, and Mom saw a guy. I saw him, too. He's got some kind of blue parrot on his shopping cart.
Okay. Was that for sale at the Dollar Store?
I can't believe what I just saw. Yeah.
Yeah, was that for sale at the Dollar Store?
No, it was just, he was the owner. He was just, yeah. he just
that's
his pet
parrot.
That he brought in
a little shopping tree.
Yeah, that can be
messy. Yeah. I assume they didn't diaper the bird. That could be quite messy.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was like a blue color, very beautiful color, tropical color. And, Yeah. I thought it was cute seeing that. She liked it.
Now, was it all blue?
Yeah, it was all blue.
Was
it
kind of a pale blue?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, okay, I've seen those. All right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I never seen that. I see people's dogs or cats, but a parrot, yeah, that's the first I've seen that.
Yeah, and then they have the darker blue with the gold, the macaws, you know, which are nice.
It is Florida, so
well, that's right. And they have to do selective breeding to get that particular blue guy, as far as that goes. But, yeah, and people have them as pets, I guess.
Yeah. Pretty interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, I'll call back later. Job's doing well, so.
Good. I'm so glad to hear it.
We had a maniac that we had to subdue because he was screaming. And so whatever they gave him, it worked because he was he quieted down. And eventually, I got chosen to be one of the people going up there.
Okay.
To transport him from ER to one of the rooms upstairs.
Okay. Now, was this a situation where the guy had memory impairment, you know, cognitive decline?
I don't know. I was outside waiting to transport somebody else. But,
right. Because unfortunately, with
don't touch me.
With cognitive impairment, it can get dicey.
Okay, that's what it is. Okay.
Yeah. I'm guessing. Obviously,
yeah.
But usually when you're talking about that level of outburst and the things that they're saying, it's usually related to, like I say, cognitive impairment to one degree or another.
Yeah, I'm glad it got under control and it didn't, you know.
Yeah, well, they gave them a shot of instant forget.
How about that? Yeah.
All right.
All right, I'll let you get on to the next call. Okay. If I find anything interesting, I'll call back later in the week.
I'll look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so good deal on that. Yeah. I lived in this house for a while in Louisville, Kentucky, of all things, and it was the kind of like the garage house separated from the main house. And the main house at one point had been, you know, this big hotsy-totsy place in Cherokee Park, which at the time was decades before I was there. And it had it was large, but it had seen better years. And it was a kind of a rest home, if you will. But unfortunately, most of the people who were there were not resting. They were clearly cognitively impaired. And they'd hang out the windows and scream. Be like, do you love me? Yeah, which is fine the first 20 times, but after that. And so, yeah, it was constant. I finally got assigned for my mailbox. And, I called it Hopeless Acres. And, spent a year there, actually. And it was the strangest thing, though, these people hanging out the windows and just screaming. And more at night, even, than in the day. And you hear that sometimes when you're in facilities. And it's very sad. And obviously, it needs more than this rest home could have given it. But many facilities are designed to do just that. So, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. Fran's Austin was Fran from Austin. Your mother was queen for a day.
My mother was queen for a day. I was just little. I don't remember much about it other than my aunt saying, you know, your mom is on TV, you know, and of course it had been taped, so we all, you know, watched it. But yeah, she won all kinds of stuff. She won a trip to Vegas, a dining room set.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a dinette.
And,
yes.
A little dinette set. We had it for years. Had these little weird chairs with like
plastic covering.
You could strum the back of them like.
You
could strum the back of them like a guitar. That was a great way for me to get on my mother's nerves.
Oh, that's perfect. Absolutely. And yeah, they had those those plastic seats that if you're not wearing anything, you'll stick to them.
Right.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. The classic 50s dinette. Yes. Remember it well.
Yes. And the top was real shiny.
Of course.
Another thing she got was one of those stereos. It had sliding, it was a big cabinet, and it had sliding doors on it. And one side was like a little bar. It had, you know, cocktail glasses and whatever other tools one uses for those. And then on the other side, it was a turntable and a radio, and it had keys, it had buttons on it that to get to each mode that looked like piano keys.
Yes.
Kind of.
Okay, so this was the deluxe hi-fi console.
Yes, we got that.
So,
and
what
when
was it? What was your mother's first name?
Patricia.
Okay, I'm just looking at the supposed list. I'm sure there's a lot more than this. But,
yeah, I was listening the other night when you had a caller on. I was going to call that night, but it was getting towards the end of the show.
Wow.
But I remember you reading the names of it. There was no Pat or Patricia,
no.
I know that she won.
Well, she probably, I'm sure this is,
it's
got to be an incomplete list. There's not enough names otherwise. That show was on for years, to say the least. So, obviously, if she won, that means the applause-o-meter picked her because of her tale of woe. What was her tale of woe?
Oh, God, I hate to say this because it's so much against what she always taught me, but she had a blind daughter who played the piano and... You know, and she couldn't afford to get a piano for her daughter, and how I used to go to the neighbor's house and play on their old out-of-tune piano and just, you know, all that kind of thing. So
I really wonder what the other contestants were telling about their tales of woe. What did it compete with? Blind daughter versus?
I don't know because unfortunately, I was too young to understand it. If I did see it, and I, you know, they don't repeat those, so I didn't ever see it. But I do remember seeing the show, and you know, would you like to be queen for a day? You know, and all that. And I remember that thing that he used to say at the end of the show, but. When she went to Vegas, they, she didn't have to stand in line. If she went somewhere, they would say, your majesty, you don't have to, you know.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Her.
I love it. I found a Patricia.
Ahead of the line.
Here we have Patricia Cedarlot, whose winning story was about her dyslexic daughter. So we at least got one there. So apparently...
We got one Patricia.
Right. I'll look for more.
Okay, yeah, she might be just under Pat, but she didn't like it when people called her Pat, but she might not have insisted on that yet at that time.
Right, exactly. Now,
the funny thing was, she didn't want to go. My grandmother wanted to go, and she's like, I don't want to do that. And she had tickets to be in the audience, and my mom's like, I don't want to go to that. And she talked her into it, and she wound up being on the show and winning queen for a day. So,
well, here's one who's not your mother, but we have Zelda Johnson, often called Pat, who appeared. Her story captured the studio audience's heart. Her husband, Art, had gone in for eye surgery and returned permanently blind. With three young children, the family's income relying on Art's blind operation of a Phillips 66 gas station, Zelda made an emotional plea to the audience that she needed money for formal piano lessons so that she could teach professionally to support the family. All right, there's a disconnect, and she won by a landslide. And what she got was daily piano lessons for 6 months, a new grand piano, a brand new refrigerator, and a large set of Amelia Earhart luggage in case she wants to fly the coop. But anyway.
I did get a piano, but I got what they called a child's spinet.
Oh, okay.
So it's a small piano. It doesn't have the full range of bass notes and the, you know, way high up stratosphere notes. But you can play almost anything, you know, on it. And it had a little piano bench and a little music rack. And, I was just in heaven. I played that thing. I wonder what it would be worth if I still had it. I had to, in various moves to different apartments and stuff. I couldn't take it with me. And so my uncle wound up with it. And who knows what happened with that.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is great.
Yeah,
I think if we look far enough, we're going to find more of these stories. I think somebody should have written a book with all of the stories.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah, I'd buy it. Absolutely buy it. And I not only want to know the winners, I want to know who they were competing against.
Right.
Yeah. And I'd also like the backstory of how they were convinced to go on television and do this. And then
I wish I'd asked my mother that.
And I wonder how many of the quote unquote contestants made up the whole bit.
I don't know. I'd be interested in knowing.
Yeah, this should be somebody's doctoral dissertation. Get on it. So we'll see. That's
I was trying to think of something because I'd love to write a book. I've always wanted to, and I've started a couple of them, but, you know, never got anywhere. So maybe I should write the book.
Yeah, it'd be a lot of research, though.
That would require a lot of research, and I have to get a lot better at using YouTube than I am.
And it isn't all there. You'd wind up having to go to, like, the broadcast museums and stuff like that. So, no, leave it for somebody else.
I don't have that kind of energy.
You and me both. Great story. Thank you for calling.
Okay, thanks.
All right.
Bye.
That's wonderful. Somebody should write that. So 888-876-5593. Victor, Cindy. And, I see. We're going to talk to James and all his stories coming up on WGN Radio.
Don't throw your love away. No, 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 no. Don't throw your love away. For you might need it someday.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and, you know, I don't remember who requested it, but we're talking about the Searchers quite a bit, and that's not the original version. Jimmy Wisner wrote it with Billy Jackson, but the original version, a couple years earlier, 63, actually, didn't chart. But, you know, I'll tell you, this is one where, and I do like the Searchers, but, man, I thought the Orlans comparatively nailed it.
Flip side in 1963 of something else that didn't chart, Bondua, and not memorable, and I'll spare you Bondua. But it's interesting because Cameo Parkway had a wonderful little budget label, Wincote, And they would put all sorts of things out on Wincoat, including that, actually, along with other other things. So there you have that. All right, 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. All right, before we get to Victor, and we will, can't wait, and Cindy and James, Johnny in Austin on television with his parents. Oh, my dear God. Tell me all about it,
yes.
Johnny. Yes.
There's still some things about me you don't know.
Well, you know, I can only imagine, because, of course, your father was on television regularly, being a Houston politician and all, but what on earth were you doing on TV with them?
Well, there was a show called Feather Your Nest. I can't remember who the host was. Was it Bud Collier? I haven't looked it up in years, but
this was national.
Yeah.
Okay.
NBC.
Okay.
I saw a guy named Charlie Ruggles, who was an old guy. I don't remember exactly what he was famous for, but I ran into him but the host of the show.
I think it is Bud Collier, by the way. Now that you mention it, because
when Fran brought that up. About her mom being on Queen for a Day. I thought, oh, man, I was on Feather Your Nest as a little kid, and I'm trying to think of what year it was, but I remember Bud Collier asked my mother, and Miss Goen, how many years have you been married? 11 years, Bud. And I remember that line, you know, and like, how old would I have been? So... I don't know. I mean, but I remember her saying 11 years, Bud.
Well, you know, I never saw this show, but the only reason that I even know about it is I remember the print ad they had for it, and it was Feather Your Nest, and it had this Danish modern blue chair in it. I remember that was there, and that's about all I remember. And supposedly it was couples competing for household furnishing. So what was the deal?
Oh, well, all I remember is they delivered a lot of stuff to our house.
And did you win? Must have won.
A coffee urn came, and there was and I don't know what they had to answer to do. I don't know.
I've looked it up. Now here we go. Two couples competed, and each selected a specific household furnishing item from a showcase on stage. And then in a one-minute time limit, one member from each team had to find a hidden feather that was contained in each article chosen. Each feather contained a question, which, if answered correctly, wait, there's more, I can't believe it, won the merchandise. All right, so now we got to go to YouTube here to see if Feather Your Nest is. I assume it's not, actually, because who the hell would have kept
it? I think they might have some clips, but I'm not on it.
Well, anybody being on it would be okay with me. Okay, 1955. Yeah, all right. So I should.
So maybe it was. Let me think.
Yeah, this is a whole show. I've got 28 minutes of it. Feather Your Nest from 1955. I got a whole show.
Well, hopefully I'm the superstar.
Oh, wait, here's another one. Oh, man. No. Oh, gosh. I found two of them fairly quickly. Oh, yeah.
Good one is Johnny the Super Jock.
Oh, yeah.
No, but anyway, I don't remember how they won it or any of that. I do remember running into this guy named Charlie Ruggles, and I can't remember what he did. He was an old man at the time, kind of like me right now.
Now, this is horrible, but there's actually a home goods store in Austin called Feather Your Nest.
Oh, no.
And they specialize in Scandia down comforters. All right, well, I'm telling you, if they got Danish modern furniture, they're doing it after the TV show.
Well, at any rate, we got a couch, a coffee urn, and some other sofas or something. We got a couple of things, I mean, they've lasted us a long time.
Well, you know that after this show, I'm going to watch the whole episode on YouTube of one of these.
Well, I remember being there vividly, but I don't remember the premise of how they won it. You just told me a lot I didn't know, or maybe I forgot about. But, you know, how winners were chosen and all that stuff. I don't know. But it was at NBC, right?
Yes, NBC, absolutely.
And I would guess the year was 1955.
Yep. Well, there's two shows from 19. Oh, yeah. You're about to win this beautiful custom home. Damn. All right. So yeah, I've got the whole thing here. Well, this will be fun.
Well, good. When Fran, if I didn't hear Fran talk about her mother being on Queen for a Day, it wouldn't have occurred to me to call.
Oh no, this is great, and this show contains all the commercials for things like detergent and Alcoa and all that stuff. So this will be fun.
Bud Collier, I guess he was kind of famous. Well, no, who was Charlie Ruggles?
Well, he was famous, by the way, for these game shows more than anything else.
Oh yeah, 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 you yeah, know. Yeah. But who was Charlie Ruggles?
He was just
was he a comedian or what?
No, he was an older guy. And, I mean, this is a guy who was born, like, in 1880. So we're talking a long time
ago.
And he was in over 100 movies. And,
really?
You know, including things that were before the talkies. And so he was alive and appearing in things until 1970. So
really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yes, Charlie Ruggles.
I ran into him in the hall at NBC, and somebody, I think my dad, because I wouldn't have known who he was.
Well, no.
My dad said, that's Charlie Ruggles.
Right.
Oh, okay. That's great.
Yeah.
I didn't introduce myself or anything like that. But,
well, no, but
he was old then.
Yeah, he was almost like a character. He had a jumpy manner of speaking, and he would look befuddled, and everything seemed to overwhelm him, which made him a great character actor as far as that goes.
I never knew exactly what he was famous for.
Well, in some cases, by the time this show was on the air, he was famous for being famous.
Yeah, I think, you know, he was probably due to retire or something.
Yeah, and so... you know, it was interesting because he got married to this woman who, I don't know, she'd been married to like a boxer or something. But anyway, they were animal lovers. And at one point they had 94 pets in their home. And that was the deal. And so
the Ruggles did?
Yes, the Ruggles did. He's on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. You can see him.
Really?
Yeah, oh, yes, no, absolutely.
I should have introduced myself. He's a famous man.
Yeah, won a Tony. And all that kind of stuff. So yeah, his brother was a director of some note. I don't know. I don't do movies. But anyway.
Yeah, I don't either.
So he also did some voice acting, and
oh really?
Yeah, he was a voice on Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Oh really?
Yeah, I think he was Aesop.
Well, because, not much of a TV watcher. So
the only reason I know that is because Aesop Jr. was Dawes Butler. And so, I was a Dawes Butler fan. Dawes Butler always encouraged me
to
write.
I don't even remember any of the other contestants.
Well, no, why would you?
I don't remember them finding a feather or any of that.
Yeah, well,
all I remember was... How long have you been married, Miss Goen?
11 years.
11 years, bud. and I was just a dorky little guy, you know, same person I am now.
I'd be curious how your mother conned your father into being on this.
Well, I think it was the other way around.
Oh, hang on. Oh gosh, I can see why. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. I gotta do a couple things, and one of them is this on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I think it's my turn, and I've got about 5 minutes here. And actually, Johnny, I was sitting here watching Bud Collier on Feather Your Nest, done in New York.
Oh.
So you got to check it out after this call. You got to go watch YouTube. It's hilarious.
Well, I remember all the bright lights and everything, and I was, you know, I mean, I don't recall the studio audience. All I just
you'll see them. You'll recall when you see them. It's right out of typecasting.
Oh my God!
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Thank you, Fran, for your story about you know,
about
your mom. My mom should have been on Queen for a Day. She was a big drama queen.
Your father wouldn't allow that.
Quite well.
No, yeah, exactly. No. Your father would have forbid that. I guarantee it.
Married, but not to each other.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Anyway, that's my story.
I love it. So, it's early in the week, I know, so you probably don't even know what your special is for the guest at 8 o'clock.
My special at 8 p.m.
on Sunday.
Soul of the City. Yeah, soulofthecity.net.
Net. Yes.
Or HoustonRadioPlatinum.com. Mm. I was going to do Jackie Wilson last
week. Right, we talked about that, but you're saving up.
And I was going to do it this week, and I finally got my interview with him, and then I talked to Will Howard, who has the Facebook page. And if you love Jackie Wilson, listeners, check out Jackie Wilson Music and Memories.
On Facebook?
And Will Howard runs his site. So he turned me on to a couple of people that were real close with Jackie Wilson.
Okay.
So I interviewed them, well, one of them today and another one tomorrow. And I'm afraid I'm going to have to move it again because it's going to be too much editing. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
I've got to cut out words and, you know, all kind of stuff.
It'll
and
be
then,
worth
and
waiting.
I talked to a guy tonight who lives in Chicago, by the way.
Yeah.
Real gentleman. He's a musician, and he worked a lot with the Brunswick and the Shylights and stuff. Bill Robinson.
Uh-huh.
I'm not exactly, but he worked with Jackie as well. And he's going to be a real good interview. We talked about so much stuff, and he said, well, it's getting late. You want to do it tomorrow? And I said, yep, let's do it tomorrow.
That's
so
great.
I didn't even get that recorded. We talked about everything else in the book. But a really nice guy.
Yeah, he was Jackie Wilson's music director. He led the backing band. So,
but what year was it? I think he said it was later in
That CBS special. What was that? Mid-70s.
I don't know.
Yeah, right around there. Yeah, absolutely. And he was, but he was involved with the live performances in the 60s and the 70s, not the 50s and not the early 60s. But, you know, he probably has some great stories. In fact, get him to talk about Carl Davis.
Carl Davis.
Yes, just write that down. Talk about, you can get a whole show out of that. It won't be Jackie Wilson, but oh my God, yes, yes, Carl Davis.
Well, he was a total gentleman.
Yeah,
he really was.
This is Chicago deity when it comes to music, Carl Davis. And he worked with him, so that should be a lot.
I mentioned Renard Minor. I said I thought he might have passed away.
He did.
And he didn't know it. He didn't know that.
No, he did die. His daughter sent me an email saying, Dad wanted to make sure I notified you when he passed, and he had. And, you know, Carol and I talked about it because on one of my Monday night shows, the answer to what all the records had in common is they all were written by Renard Minor. And I didn't hear from him right after that, and Carol said he must have been really sick because he would have called. Because
I called in one night when he was on. Wasn't
right.
he the one, if I'm not mistaken, maybe he wasn't, one of your guests, possibly was him, composed that CD called Chicago Radio Soul.
He might have been involved with that. And I don't know, because
you had the person on there that put all that together. And
yeah.
I don't remember if it was...
Yeah.
It's a great CD. It's an import, like it's on Kent, I think,
right.
out of UK.
No, he that wouldn't surprise me at all, because, of course, you know, co-wrote Rescue Me and So Your Love Is Lifting Me Higher and Higher, and We're Gonna Make It, and Chicago Radio Soul, I think so. I'd have to look at it, but I'm pretty sure that's who it was.
I've had that for a long time, and there's a cool song in there. If you have your request list is long, don't worry about it. Put me at the end of the list. But there's a song.
I ran out of time. I got to go like right now. It's the Wee Bitchin' Hour. Talk to you soon. Okay, bye. All right. We'll hopefully talk later in the week, and right now we'll do this on WGN Radio.
Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you don't believe I'm all I say, come up and take my hand. When I let you go, you'll cry. Oh yes, he's a 60-minute man. There'll be 15 minutes of kissing. Then you holler, please don't stop.
Don't stop.
There'll be 15 minutes.
blazing, and 50 minutes of squeezing, and 50 minutes of blowing my top. If your man ain't treating you right, come up and see your dad. I'll rock 'em, roll 'em all night long. I'm a 60 minute man.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, is that the one that started it all as far as using the term rock and roll for music? Yes, been around, obviously, as the song attests, for other reasons for decades, but when Alan Freed proclaimed it a rock and roll record, the rest was history. And it should be mentioned, by the way, that Alan didn't come up with it. Yeah, that was Leo Mintz of Record Rendezvous, but Alan certainly the one that that popularized it. And that was a request. Let me find it here. From Mike and Elmwood. Okay. And, of course, can't play 60 Minute Man, a wonderful song, don't you know, without the Answer record. Yes, done, of course, by the Dominoes as well. Can't do 60 no more.
Look who's coming down the street.
It's the 60 Minute Man.
Doesn't he look bad, though?
Yes, he does. We have some girls we want you to meet, Dan, but you look terrible.
Here, girls, my name is Dan. As I told you once before. Please excuse my blown up view, because I can't do 60 no more.
Yeah, he looks terrible. That's my favorite part. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. And hanging on for quite a while is Victor in Silver Spring. Victor, what's up tonight?
Oh, not too much. I want to make a comment about the first caller tonight. My wife used to work for a company. This is 1990. They built houses starting at $600,000 and up.
Right.
And her job was to go around the construction site handing out various instructions, blueprints, etc. So we went to a lot of their, you know, so-called parties, and I got to meet some of the people, and we had to dress up. I had to dress up in a suit and tie and all that. That's how formal it was.
Right.
Well, every Sunday, my wife and I, it was her job to check the sales department to see how well they're doing. So she drags me along. And we looked at this one house, and the salesman is really eager. He asks us, are we interested in the house? And I said, yeah, especially that big chimney. I can't wait to put a TV antenna up there. And he says, no, it's not allowed. Well, I told him, I said, somebody sued over the homeowners association over not being able to put up an antenna, and I guess the court, I don't know which court it was, said that if the person can only receive the stations with an antenna, it's okay. So
yeah, actually, it's deeper than that now, because a lot of homeowners associations tried to prohibit satellite dishes and all that. That was overturned. That cannot.
Yes.
That absolutely cannot
be. That was part of that.
Yep. That it doesn't matter whether they could reach it another way or not. They have the right to it. The courts were very clear on that.
Yes, I remember the big fights over that. Yeah. That was around 1983, 84.
Well, right. When people had sea dishes, I mean, that was big time as far of that. And it comes up every now and then. And bottom line is HOAs cannot enforce rules that unreasonably delay, prevent, or increase the cost of establishing a satellite dish under 1 meter in diameter. So that was the deal. But 1 meter is not that small.
No, it's not. It sounds like it's a very small dish.
Yeah.
I think that could fit on somebody's balcony.
Well, and here's the deal with that. It's got to have a direct line of sight to whatever's in geostationary orbit. So where it's going to be will be dependent by that. In other words, your balcony might not be in the right place. But the bottom line is they have the right to it. And you know, that's one of the things. If they're, say, in a condo and their balcony won't get it, they do not have the right to use someone else's balcony. But if they, say, are in a private house, their own backyard, they can do whatever they want. And HOAs cannot enforce any bans on satellite dishes for aesthetic reasons, period.
I know... You know how I like the DX, and one of the first things I did when my wife and I bought the house that I'm living in now, I put up a really big TV antenna with a rotor.
Yeah.
And, I had fun with that sucker. I turned it to the north.
Yeah.
When reception was good, I would pick up the Philadelphia channels and,
sure,
or the Norfolk channels, and then there's East Skip and all that stuff.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And then my parents came to visit me, and my father says, "I bet you got the Cadillac of TV antennas."
Yeah.
And I said, "Yeah, I did." And, I remember, this is funny, I was getting a skip from Cuba, and this neighbor came over, and she takes one look at the TV, because the station was carrying a test pattern.
Right.
And she says, "See you in Cuba, Vanna? What kind of a TV do you have anyway?"
Yeah. E-Skip's wonderful, that's for sure. But yeah, for people, anybody who is listening who is facing this, it's called OTARD, the FCC division for this, over the air, basically, but OTARD, and they have, and it stands for over the air reception devices, and it cannot be prohibited. Now, the rules are basically, it's got to be space you control, so like you don't have the right to put it in a common area, things like that. But if it is your balcony or your patio or your yard, and they cannot unreasonably delay installation or increase the cost or prevent the use or basically tell you how it's got to be installed. So, but the big thing is you're not going to be able to get anything in the common areas. And for many people, if it's a condo, that may be the only way they're going to get it. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah, now, the one thing I did when my wife and I were looking to buy a house.
Yes.
I bring my radio with me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, so she's looking at this one house, and I'm fooling around with the radio, and the real estate lady says, "What are you playing your radio for?" And I said, "I'm checking to see what kind of reception there is, and unfortunately, we're not going to buy this house because one of the station's transmitters seems to be maybe a half a mile from here."
You're picking it,
all kinds of interference.
Yeah, it happens, absolutely.
And I really lucked out when we bought this house that I'm living in now. Really good reception. We're at the top of a hill. I know if I walk another block down Easley Street toward the park away from downtown, it goes downhill, and people have told me they've had trouble picking up certain stations, because I know this one woman loves movies, and this one channel in Baltimore used to play movies every night at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
was Channel 45.
Right.
When they first came on, they said they were Baltimore's finest features.
Yeah.
Now they're Fox 45.
Exactly.
Yeah. But anyway, that's about all I have to say for tonight.
Well, good to hear from you, and thank you for waiting.
I hope I hear Nick.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, always good to hear from you. Thank you, Victor.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
So, HOAs will try to stop you. And if it's your property, and, you know, basically they can't. So the government sides with you on that. Now, you're not going to get a C-dish. Of course, you wouldn't want one now anyway, but back in the day, maybe you will. You know, it's funny. If you have requirements like that for housing, you can forget things like the MLS listings because they're just not going to cover things like that. For instance, to me, I wouldn't look for a property that didn't have fiber to the premises. Forget it if it didn't. You know, oh, it's got broadband. Hey, don't tell me about a cable modem. I don't want to hear it. But you try to find, for instance, you know, hey, on this property, can I get FTTP, FTTH, however you want to say it? And yeah, forget it. The MLS is completely mute on that, which is unfortunate. All right, 888-876-5593. And Cindy is in Chicago. What's happening tonight, Cindy? I think Cindy's asleep. Oh, I hope she's sleeping well. I think it's the only time Cindy gets any peace. So, all right, rest up, Cindy. Let's check out James on the south side. How's it going, James?
Fine. How are you?
All right, lots of good stories. Most of them we can't use because she got very political on me.
I'm... let's see. I could use the dog in the child one.
Well, I'll tell you. No, I mean there's several I could, but the one I thought was, and by the way, like the origin of the food stamp program, interesting, but or the EPA not regulating data centers, but although there was sure a story about a data center about the guy who I don't know if it was you who gave me that story or not about the guy who. Donated the land for a park and it turned out to become a data center. But
yeah,
I'll get to that.
Yeah,
but the
I did.
Yeah, and I do want to go over that because I would hope he's haunting. But the idea that a man once sued himself, which was hilarious. And of course, a prison inmate, because when you're in prison, you got a lot of time on your hands. And so many folks there will file lawsuits, but none as dependable on this as Robert Lee Brock of Virginia. And so he filed a lawsuit against himself. His argument, handwritten, obviously, 7-page document, was that by getting drunk, he caused himself to commit breaking and entering and grand theft larceny, thereby violating his own religious beliefs and civil rights. He wanted to pay himself $5 million in damages. Since he was in prison and had no income, he asked the state of Virginia to cover it. He was serving a 23-year sentence at the Indian Creek Correctional Center in Chesapeake. He was both the plaintiff and the defendant. And his logic was that the drunk version of himself was a separate party who had wronged the sober version. And that version deserved compensation. I am a failure as a husband, a Christian, a Cherokee, and a prisoner, he wrote. He also promised to repay the money once he was released. The judge, Rebecca Smith, dismissed it as frivolous, but she did note it was creative. That's for sure. But this guy had a lot of time on his hands, you know, 23-year sentence. This wasn't the first or the last attempt to weaponize the legal system. He filed 29 complaints in a single year. Eventually, they stopped him from filing entirely because none of his allegations were ever found to have any merit. But fascinating stuff because, you know, it raises some questions that have never been pondered. Maybe that's good news, but I liked that story.
Yeah, I thought it was good, too.
Yeah. So, okay, now I got to find this one of this guy. And where was it? Because he donated the land for a park. Yeah, here we are. This is just, I hope he haunts. He donated the land to the city for a park. And partly he had told his neighbors, you know, they wanted to keep the neighborhood intact and all that. So he had 87 acres in Taylor, Texas. And he donated it in 1999. He was a farmer under the condition that in the deed it would be used for community parkland only. Yeah, well, sadly, he was gone. But the deal is that the city, you know, he makes the promise, he grants the lands, all that. Well, in 2003, just 4 years later, the Texas Parks and Recreation Foundation granted the land to the Williamson County Park Foundation. 1 month later, they grant it to the city of Taylor. 5 years later, the city of Taylor sells it for $15,000 to the Economic Development Corporation. You know what's coming there. And last year, the Economic Development Corporation sold it for a data center. And, yeah, there's neighbors who are still alive who are not happy about this. And, yeah, I don't know how this is going to wind up, but I hope that it will be fully adjudicated.
Oh, yeah. Oh, which reminded me of one story that I think I sent you about a mother and daughter farmers in Kentucky who refused to sell their farmland.
Uh-huh.
That was going to be used for a data center.
Right. Yeah, and unfortunately, as you know, the Supreme Court, unfortunately, and I know this almost gets into political territory, but has ruled a while ago that economic takings are fine under eminent domain. And we know all about that case in Connecticut, that horrible case where people lost their waterfront property because this big development was going to be there. They were forced to move. These were people who had been there for generations, and the development never came to be. So, but the ruling stands, and that was the ruling that led to, you know, the Supreme Court deciding that, yes, a city can use eminent domain for economic reasons. And, yeah, and so I have not kept up with the mother and daughter in Kentucky. Are they losing their land?
They refuse to sell.
Oh, I know that, but the next thing is that they don't have to sell. They can do it by eminent domain.
Yeah, that might happen because it's part of a larger group of land.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, unfortunately, they'll be within their legal rights. And like I say, we don't talk about that because it gets very frustrating and we all get upset and we don't go there. So, yes, big dog finds a best friend in little baby, unaware his first words will be about him. Yeah, and a lovely Bernese Mountain Dog here. And everybody waits for baby's first words. And so apparently baby's first words are about the dog. And hang on a minute. Oh, don't go away. Stay right where you are. And we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Well, look at that, look at that, look. Well, now she's my cutie, my
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Reed Petit. My name is Robert in LaGrange. Who requested that. Jackie Wilson, of course, on Brunswick. And, you know, a lot of people think that the term originated with that song that Berry Gordy co-wrote. And the interesting part about that is, oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. It was not only out years before, like a decade before, 1947, actually, as a song, but a movie as well. And so, yes, Reet Petit. And if you're wondering what it means, Reet was a term that was used for something that was fantastic, wonderful, excellent, all that. And, of course, Petit, I don't need to explain that. All right, so Reet Petit, that's what she was, wonderful and slim. All right, so, but 10 years earlier, there was a movie, and they used to make race movies. And so this one was about an hour long, and it was one of three that Louis Jordan had done that year. And there was a plot where Louis, playing the role of Louis Jarvis Jr., summoned from his band's radio show to visit his terminally ill dad before he dies, and he's got an estate, and the only way that he could get the estate was to marry this designated woman, and the business manager of dad tries to get in the mix and all that. But in the meantime, the theme song that came from it, and probably exactly what Berry Gordy was thinking of when he came up with Reet Petit, was Reet Petit and Gone.
I found a gal who beats them all. She isn't too short and she isn't too tall. She's in the groove and right on the ball. She's Reet Petit and Gone. What a babe, she's the tops. When we go out, they don't need no traffic cops. One look at her and the traffic stops, cause she's Reet Petit and Gone. Now I could have my pick, you know, cause I got dough that's ready to go. But this chick's so mighty fine, she got me all tied up like a ball of twine.
Yeah, so we don't have Jackie Wilson or Berry Gordy coming up with it. We have Louis Jordan, who really never got his just due and was so successful for so long. But you can check out the movie, actually. Like I said, about 67 minutes long. So not a long thing. One of the race movies, three of them that year that he had made. Good stuff. All right, so of course, the original Reet Petit, Jackie Wilson, 1957 on Brunswick. All right, so now back to James on the South Side. And we have this story about Violet Jessop, the woman who survived the Titanic, the Britannic, and the Olympic. So three deadly ship disasters, and I mean disasters, as you well know, on all of them. But what's interesting to me is if I were about to board a ship and saw Violet Jessop in line to get on too, I'd run in the other direction. But this woman continued to have a naval career, if you will, for the rest of her life. Fascinating little story. She's been dead a long time.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I came across a story about this family that changed their mind and decided to get this doggy. They made one more trip around.
Oh, yeah.
This doggy had, I guess, been sitting there, and yeah. I guess story wasn't going to get picked.
Right, right. I did see that. Goes back to the shelter for the dog that was covered in paint when they brought him in, that said, oh, we're going to take him after all. Yeah. Nice story.
Yeah.
Yeah, always heartwarming. You know, I sometimes wonder, though, when I'm, and you're probably doing this too online, is you go to like YouTube or whatever, and you see so many stories, you know, about friendly bears and friendly lions and friendly tigers. I mean, excuse me, but these are wild animals. The idea that they can be house pets is insane, but it seems like there's some drive to get you to think, oh, well, they're just big kitties. Just alarming to me. I have no idea what's behind that move.
Oh, I think it comes back, or at least it started, it really got a big hold during the pandemic. I remember about this alligator who this guy claimed was his comfort support.
Oh, right,
animal.
Right. I remember that in Florida. That was just absolutely insane. Completely insane. Yeah, like I say, there's a word for that. That word is insanity. So, I don't know. But it seems like there's something to it where they're trying to make us all believe that we should go out and get a leopard. So I'm not planning on it myself.
You kind of have to know your limitations.
Yes, right, exactly. And your limitations is don't bring a leopard home. Yes, exactly. All right, well, good stories as usual, and thank you so much.
You're welcome. And have a good night.
We'll talk to you soon. All right. I didn't bring this up earlier. Broke my heart. I mentioned it in passing last night. I hate being right about certain things, but in fact, should have brought it up when Victor was on the phone because we had talked quite a bit about it, and of course with Nick as well. All the stunting that WBT AM, the 1110 50,000 watt station, has been doing since they moved to FM in December, and you know, nobody could figure out why are they still stunting, and I had proffered the concept that they're probably just waiting to sell the land. Well, that's exactly what they did. They sold the transmitter location for housing. And along the way, they also sold 400 Radio Road. And while not the call letters today, but at one time, just really most legendary Charlotte station out there when it was Big Ways. Yes, it's Kaplan station. So, yeah, so both going the way of quote-unquote housing. So I think they're returning the license, which is what I thought, that they would do the stunting until they had their buyer, and then they just hand back the license. And to an extent, on an economic decision, I understand that, because you're talking about 50,000 watts on AM, and you know, for your ERP, you're actually running 50,000 watts, and that's very costly. I get that. But even so, on an emotional level, I'm very displeased. But I'd say I'll get over it. But no, everything changes as far as that goes. But I go to the point where I say, I've lived too long. Carl is in Riverside. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Rally. Bebop Lollipop.
Ah.
I have no idea why I did that, but I did it.
All right.
Hey, Rally, it was good hearing the Searchers. I didn't request it, but
somebody did.
I really liked that song.
Yeah, I think the Orlons did a better version, though.
I did hear that version. I'd never heard it before.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah.
Not too shabby at all. And what did I call about? I'm doing a little channel surfing the other night.
Yeah.
I come across this, these dopey movies from the early 60s.
Uh-huh.
You know, Mr. Hobbs Takes a Vacation.
Uh-huh.
Jimmy That's Stewart.
Famous Marino movie, Hara, yes.
Fabian Forte is in it.
Yeah.
And,
oh, yes.
You know, sometimes you have a movie and they're at the bebop, hop, whatever. There's a band playing in the background.
Right.
And I'm going, who is that guy? Looks familiar. real young Herb Alpert. It was very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was Maureen O'Hara and James Stewart. And you don't normally think about those alongside the likes of Fabian Forte or Herb Alpert. But, hey, that's the way it is. And, there are a lot of those feel-good movies just like it.
Well, I don't know if they're feel-good.
Well, that's what they're meant to be. You know, like all those Doris Day movies and a lot of those Tony Curtis movies, they were all sort of the same.
That is true. And now what do we have?
I have no idea. I don't go to the movies. I have no idea.
I know you don't.
Yeah. John could speak better to that because anything that's, going to be animation, he's usually seen.
Hey, I got a question for you, and then I'll let you go. Did you happen to notice, I don't know if you would call it really a guitar riff or not, but in Love Potion number 9, that was Searchers also, correct?
They redid it, yes. Of course, Love Potion number 9 was the Clovers originally.
Yeah, okay. And so that one and what the other one with Don't Throw Your Love Away, is that the name of it?
That's one of them, Sugar and Spice. The Searchers did a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Well, those first two I mentioned specifically, did you happen to notice there's a little what I referred to as kind of a little Middle Eastern kind of thing in there with the guitar or not?
No, I don't really. You mean like they're turning it into a sitar or something? I don't know. No.
Yeah, not really a sitar, but that, something like that. But it's in both of those songs, but not in the Orlans song, of course.
Well, no, absolutely. So. All right, so let's hear the beginning of the Searchers doing Love Potion number 9, which, of course, is not at all like the Clovers, but however. Let's see here. All right.
I took my troubles down to Madame Rue. You know that gypsy with the gold cap too. She's got a bag down a pitiful.
No, it's just, I don't see it as Middle Eastern particular at all. But let's hear about Don't Throw Your Love Away. I got to hear the other one, too.
Yeah, if anything, Riley, it's probably toward the end of both songs.
I think with Don't Throw Your Love Away, the thing that I notice much is the bass guitar work, and that's really heavy on that song.
Let's see, Love Potion number 9, Love Potion... Love Potion number 9.
Well, yeah, but you've heard the Clovers version, right? You know the song. You know the hit, right?
Yeah, I heard it. The Clovers. Was it the Orlines, right?
No, for Love Potion number 9, it's the Clovers.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting confused.
Do you know their version?
Because, I've never heard it.
Okay, because that's exactly what the Searchers were pretty much trying to emulate. And, of course, the Clovers it's a Lieber Stoller tune, obviously. And
I took my troubles down to Madame Ruth. You know that gypsy with the gold cap tooth. She's got a pad on 34th and Vine, selling little bottles of Love Potion number 9. I told her that I was a flop with chicks. I've been this way since 1956. She looked at my...
Yeah, so that's the original.
Yeah. Anyway, I like a lot of that stuff. I assume they were from England, right? Or not?
The Searchers were, yes. Oh. The Searchers, they were from Liverpool. And they were around as long, if not longer, than the Beatles.
So, I liked a lot of the British invasion stuff at the time.
Yeah, some of it.
We did.
Some of it, of course. You know, everybody had passed on the Beatles, or if they had them, did nothing with them, no hits, no nothing. And so, but when they hit big in January 64, every label in town, looked, did we ever have anything by them? We got to release that now. And then when they didn't, they said, well, we got to sign someone else. So suddenly, if you had a British accent, you got a label deal.
Yep. Hey. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I'll let you go. It was good talking to you, John, and you, of course.
Yeah,
again.
Likewise.
So,
all right. Good to hear from you. Thanks. Okay. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right. Take care. So that's the deal. But yeah, the Searchers overall, I like their Sugar and Spice and some other stuff too. I don't think they were bad at all, considering, believe me, there are a lot of Liverpool groups you hadn't heard, the Liverpool Five. Well, they did do a shot of rhythm and blues. Can't really hate that. Well, yeah, you can. Dave on the North Side, welcome to WGN Radio. Nope, we lost Dave. All right, probably sleeping. A wise thing to do right about now. Remember, about 21 and a half hours from now, we'll do it all again tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. And Ruth and Gurney says, contest? I can't imagine. All right, Ruth, what's this contest?
Oh, yeah, it only costed me $100. Actually, I spent $300. It was for, speaking of others, a group from St. Joseph's School in South Dakota to go to Great America and help the elderly for a day, visit the museums in the city. And whatever money I could have won on the raffle ticket, I would have used this as my feather someone else's nest. And I thought that it was really unique because the first mailing with my money order never arrived at its destination. It took me 4 or 5 calls to the post office to find out why a letter mailed on April 30th didn't get to the destination of St. Patrick's Church.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it got to the Wadsworth Post Office.
Mm-hmm. We talked about
people
that.
From St. Yeah, they pick up the mail. So anyway, though, feathering someone else's nest only costed me $100 and actually 2 more tickets, so that was $300. I feather the nest of the listeners. This is Madam Ruth, Love Potion number 9. I don't call often, and I just don't stay long on the phone, so I can feather someone else's nest.
All right.
I'll take all the blessings I can get. Praises go up and blessings come down.
Sounds good to me. All right.
All right.
Ruth.
Good night.
Thanks. Okay, bye. All right. So 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. Oh, we got Karen in Chicago. We got Nick in Baltimore. And hopefully, I don't know if there's time for you or not. But if not, we have tomorrow night right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. We'll forego the bumper because we've got a lot to cover in about 6 minutes. And again, we've got tomorrow night. Nick in Baltimore, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, good morning. Well, I had a real quick question.
Yeah.
Oldiesradio.us out of Dallas, is that a real station? It's online, but it bills itself at $16.50.
Oldiesradio.us?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, greatest hits of all time. All right. And how will we know the original sound of Top 40 Radio? Listen online. I do not think that this is on the air anywhere. Do you know what city they're in? Have you?
It says Dallas, but
okay.
You know,
well, all right. Then let's do this. And they say they're 1640, 1650.
1650.
1650.
But I looked it up, and it's like a Spanish or foreign language thing.
On 1650.
It must be just an online.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's online, but why would they use an EB dial position for that?
Yeah, I don't, it doesn't make sense.
Right, right. And,
but it's on 24/7.
Right. And after this, I'll take a look to see, what they're doing.
That was my question.
Yeah, I'll see who's sponsor, who's hosting it and all that. That's interesting.
I'll get out of the way so you get some last call.
Yeah, well, no, you've given me something to do while I'm watching Feather Your Nest. I will look at this more. But I don't have a 1650 in Dallas. I got a 1630. I don't even have a 1650. So interestingly, I got a 1600, a 1630, and a 1700. Cockrell Hill, Fort Worth, and Richardson. All right. Huh. Well, let's see if we can't find them. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay, good. Bye. That'll be something for me to do. Okay. So the last few minutes go to Karen in Chicago. All right, Karen.
Hi. I wanted to tell you, I had an incredible experience with a cell phone store, and I never saw it coming. I carry a flip phone for emergencies because I can't screen dial. So I had gotten tired of the company I was with, which was Simple Mobile. Every time I tried to call and pay the bill, they went and sell me a 16-digit PIN number, or either that or the computer wouldn't do when if I said make a payment. It would ask me, do you want to buy data? Do you want a new plan? Well, I got tired of it. So I told a friend of mine, and he's a cab driver. And he took me to the store where he said, I'm going to take you to the company I use. I think they'll help you. Wow. He took me in the store. I explained the problem. He said, I can't do with those phones, but I'll tell you what. I'll give you a free phone. It'll be $50 activation. It'll only be $25 a month. And if you're having trouble with our customer service when you try to pay the bill, you call the store and we'll take care of it for you. Now, I not only did that, I had a digital recorder with me, and he recorded the new number plus the EMEI number.
Okay, let me ask you.
So I can copy them.
Is this a contract, or can you cancel at any time?
I can cancel any time.
Okay, good. So it's $25 a month, and that's all inclusive, unlimited data, unlimited talk?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Who is the carrier, and from that we'll find out who they're using?
It's called Metro.
Okay. They're an MVNO.
They sure were nice. I've never been treated so well. On
yeah, all right.
I mean, normally
Metro is T-Mobile, and I think actually T-Mobile owns it now, and it's a prepaid brand.
I think that's what my friend told me.
Yeah, so it's T-Mobile.
He's a cab driver.
Right.
He's a cab driver, and he never had any trouble with them, and he said, I'm sure they'll help you.
Yeah,
and when the guy found out I was totally blind, he said, don't you even worry about it. You call, and if I'm not here, one of my people will take your bill.
That's great. That's absolutely great. So good deal.
And I,
yeah.
I asked him, is it going to bother you when I have a digital recorder I carry with me when I have to take stuff like that? He says, no, doesn't bother me at all. And recorded everything.
Okay, great. That's a wonderful thing. You've ended the show on a happy note. I'm glad to hear it. We'll talk to you soon, Karen.
Could you play a question?
Hang on. Let me end the show. Don't go away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And I'll just say we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. Let's do it again 21 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio. All right. Now, Karen, what is it you want to hear?
I'm sorry I didn't mean to mess you up.
No, you didn't.
When you can, I would like to have a request for Jim. May's Day by Andy Williams.
All right. We'll do it.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. If you don't want it, you don't have to. I just wanted it for Jim.
All right. Good deal. Thanks. Appreciate the call.
Bambi meets God Spiller, plus Clash Dance and California Commercial Collision. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News. Real news, real stories, real fun. Whoa, a deer. Dear Prudence. The only thing worse than a deer on the road is a deer that looks like it had one too many for the road. Police in central France are warning motorists that deer deemed drunk are woozy and wobbly after eating fermented or rotten fruit, the New York Times reports. One burden, one botch, one deer can mean a sheer hunter demise for drivers. Beware of doe fray veer in the headlights. Case closed. Could be an unbearable weekend at the Grand Prix in Montreal as strippers say they're at the shake joint breakpoint because of working conditions. Nell on heels as the sex workers union plans to go on strike just when the town's crawling with high rollers and low lifes alike. The striptease freeze flame a matter of most dancers getting paid tips but no salary. Mad girls set to strike a close and strut their best Norma Frey. Cars 4 kids crash. Radio and TV's kid car crooners just got courtroom clobbered. A state court has banned Cars 4 Kids commercials from California airwaves, ruling the charity's kitschy jingles concealed where the cash was really cruising and failed to clearly disclose the group's religious affiliation. Now the sing-songy spots stay sidelined unless they spell out the mission in plain English. That wasn't just carpool karaoke, it was disclaimer dodgeball. And that's what's happening. I'm Grant Marshall, 2020 News.